Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am just so thankful for God's grace upon our lives. And if you're thankful, can you put some emoticons in the chat? Just clap those hands, lift them up, just say amen, type hallelujah. I want some real industrious typers out there to type that whole word out, hallelujah. The Lord has been good. As always, just want to thank you so much for staying connected to ebcnc.com. Lord's just blessed us. He's blessed us tremendously. We have Monday manna that we can get different teachings, Tuesday noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis and we're learning about our history. And consequently, because we've got that history, we're able to learn a lot with our lesson today in the book of Ruth. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then Wednesdays, we are going through the book of Luke at 7 o'clock with our virtual connection. It's just been a blessing. And then Thursdays, we have our in-person Bible studies at 6 o'clock right in the sanctuary where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Finally, I just want to thank you for praying for our 8:45 in-person services, our 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also want to thank you for your giving. God loves it when we give from a cheerful heart that we can purpose. We can have a purpose in our giving, whether you're giving online or you're sending it into our secure mailbox or you're in our in-person services. We say thank you. We're able to reach out to so many and bless them all because of you listening to the voice of the Lord and following him. Well, I'm excited about getting in the word today. If you look right beside me, we're going to really try to clear out our callings in our lives. So many times it can be blurred and was like we're looking through a lens and we're like, okay, God, I can't see which way to go. Well, today as we get into the word, I believe it's really going to help us all to get more clarity in our walk as we just thank the Lord continually for all that he is doing. Well, I want us to take a time of worship and praise where we can just focus in on the Lord and we can celebrate him in our lives. We'll see you soon.
I'm coming from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me in beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then when Christ comes with shouts of acclamations and take me home, what joy shall fill my soul. then I shall come bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
It is so good to know that He alone is great. And He is our Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Can you put in the chat, Jesus? That's His name, Jesus. As we get back into our section, our series that we've been going through, Fulfilling Our Calling, it is my prayer that you really have been praying and asking the Lord, okay, God, what have you called me to do? It could be a multiple of things that He is putting in your heart to do. But we are looking at the seasons. Today we're going to talk a little bit about that, how to really get into the path that God has for our lives. Remember our memory scripture. We've been going over this, just getting it in our hearts, and it really puts a perspective knowing that God is in control of everything. That 1 Corinthians 6 and that 19th verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. So I want you to read it aloud with me so that we can get it into our minds and seep down into our hearts. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That's good news. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that we're not our own, that you're in charge of us. And we thank you, Father God, for your presence today. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. And Father, I pray that whoever is looking in or listening in, if they're not saved today, that today be their day, that they truly make a choice, a relationship choice, also realizing it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them today to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Thank you for that wonderful grace. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been walking through this series of Fulfilling Your Calling and how God works in us, we've been working our way through the Old Testament. We've been in the book of Judges, but today we're actually going to go to a very familiar book called Ruth. Ruth is actually in the same time frame as Judges. So we're going to be able to pull out some names and actually be able to connect back to some other people during that time. So let's go to Ruth chapter 1. I want you to focus in on that 16th verse. Ruth chapter 1 and 16. It reads, "But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." I want you to listen to that again. Very powerful scripture. "But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. I want to speak from a title today, a five-letter word, focus. Focus. This is a critical subject matter that we're dealing with today, because I believe people of God, sometimes we kind of get an inkling of what God wants to do in our lives, but we just don't have the focus. And the problems that come out of that, when we're not focused, we tend to be all over the place. So today, let's really just focus in on what God has for us. As we get back into this section of scripture with Ruth, and actually just kind of walking through it, I want to bring some historic background. In this particular book, it's very important to know that there are a lot of definitions of different names. First one I just want to bring out with this term focus, right? You're like, what are we talking about when we're talking about focus? We know to kind of zoom in, but there are actually several definitions that I'm going to be centering on as I walk through this topic today. Focus, what we're using today, is the center of interest or activity and the state or quality of having or producing clear visual definition. Yeah, I know that's a lot, but this is critical to understanding this book of Ruth. Again, the center of interest or activity and the state or quality of having or producing clear visual definition. All of the thoughts of this focus are going to become paramount as we're walking through this. And I want you to begin to look at your life and go, okay, God, how can I focus on the call that you put in my life? The central character today, and I told you there are going to be a lot of definitions, Ruth. As we look at it in Hebrew, her name actually stands for friendship or association. Friendship or association. Just a brief tidbit here. I believe prayerful parents, in naming their children, the definition of your name or the meaning of your name can give some insight, some enlightenment on your calling. Yes, because I believe every child is not a mistake. I believe that from the foundations of the earth, God knew that you were going to be here. So therefore, he can speak into your parents' ears and give them a name that befits the calling that'll take place in your life. Just an interesting note, I have a friend, and he's close to 60 years old, and just recently found out as he was getting an ID that his name, he had been signing his name wrong ever since he could write. He was actually misspelling his own name. So we've got to understand our name, make sure we're spelling our name correctly, and also having a definition behind that name. The setting that we're going into is in the Persian period. It's about 6th to 4th century BC. And in this period of time, there are a lot of enemies that have risen up in the land of Israel and surrounding areas. But the biggest ones that we're going to pull out today are the Moabites. The Moabites had some issue. If you were actually studying with us from or in the book of Genesis, you'll remember that from Lot, that ancestral relationship that occurred with his daughters, that actually born out of that was Moab, and the Moabites actually come out of this messed up situation. Because of that, there are some laws that were against actually the Moabites coming into the sanctuary and being a part of the community, and we'll deal with that a little later. So let's just jump into this section, Ruth chapter 1, that first verse. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. That second verse, the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, house of bread. That's what that means. Bethlehem is that house of bread of Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Here's the point, the journey. Yes, the journey. There's something about the journey as Christians, and we're hearing the voice of the Lord, but so many times we can miss out on the journey, and we're always trying to get to the destination. We're always trying to get to that end part. Think about when you go on vacation. Most of the time, it is not about the journey. It is about, I just need to get from point A to point B, and then I can have fun. I remember one special vacation that we had, and if you remember way back in social media times where we were on Twitter and things of that sort, my family and I, we traveled all the way across the United States of America, and we were tweeting, and we were letting people know, taking pictures. It was all about the journey. Even though we had a destination to get to California, when we got there, we realized we had to journey all the way back to Greensboro, North Carolina. So that journey is very significant in defining who we are. Notice as we look closely at this next section of scripture, and I want to center in that mid part of that. It says that Ruth 1:1, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So as we were thinking about that journey, as we're thinking about that progress, I want you to get this thought. All pieces and parts actually add up to equal the whole. Yeah, all pieces and parts of your life, that's the adding process. And when we're looking at the leader, Elimelech, of his family, we're looking at Naomi, we're going to see these girls that are coming in, his sons, this whole process, the whole of our life, who we are. So I want you to know nothing is wasted in your life, nothing at all. I want you to think back on the good days as well as the bad days, and God is using that. I'm talking about focus. Proverbs 14:12 brings out a significant point as we begin to look at a little closely of this journey that they're on. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I believe that Elimelech, and I told you there's a lot of definition in here, his name in Hebrew actually means my God is king. My God is king. I believe that he was probably a little hasty in this decision. Bethlehem, they had some stuff that was going on. Famine was setting in. And Elimelech was like, you know what? I know that there are greener pastures in another place. But remember Moabites, the Moab, that area, a good Jew was really not supposed to be connecting with that area. But Elimelech, he felt that this was the place that he was going to go. This is where he was going to take his family. Jesus reveals a powerful character trait of God, and this is good. Even when we make mistakes, even when we are hasty, even when we make those bad choices, I'm talking about focus today, it's so good to know that God is still in charge. Revelation 22:13, Christ brings this out. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Any hallelujahs out there to know that we serve a great God? He is the potter, we're the clay, and even in our decisions, he is molding us and making us and forming us to be more like him. Talking about focus. Can you put in the chat focus? Look at Ruth 1:3. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. Now, this is interesting. Orpah, translated in Hebrew, can actually mean stubborn. Remember that. It can be stubborn and stiff-necked. Look at this as it continues on. And the name of the other was Ruth. We found out that friendship association. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Can you put in the chat 10? This is a critical. This is a long time. Elimelech, he's passed away. And so now these ladies are bought into association with those sons. Ruth 1:5. But notice what happens. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Here's the point. Life comes at you fast. Any amens out there? Life comes at you fast. This terrible thing happens. Elimelech, he passes away, and then the two sons passed away. Now, there's some critical points I want you to get. When Elimelech passed away, The family had already been put in a tailspin. They're out of where they should be. They left Bethlehem, that place of bread. They go to the Moabite land. And so when they're there, the leader, Elimelech, who made that decision, now they're in this land. He dies. What do? The sons feel like they have to step up. And so they choose to marry Moabites. Yes, I told you earlier, this was kind of like prohibited. They were not supposed to do this, but out of their grief, they're just trying to make it happen. They're trying to take care of their mother. They're trying to take care of their lives. They're trying to make sure that the lineage of Elimelech, it actually continues on. Deuteronomy 23:3 actually speaks about this prohibition to the Moabites. It says, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to, this is important, the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Isn't that heavy? Because of background, because of choices generations before, these Moabites and Ammonites were actually under a type of curse. And so now the sons of Elimelech, who's passed away, they marry Moabites, and no cause of themselves. They weren't at the beginning of that, but still there were issues. There was a cloud over their lives. Kilion and now Mahlon, they die. These sons, they die. And now these ladies are stuck in Moabite area, and it's a 10-year journey. What happens when life hits you hard? What happens when life comes at you fast? Please understand, this is important. Know that God is still in charge and gives us choices in those situations. Dr. Seuss said this: when something bad happens, you have three choices. You can let it define you, you can let it destroy you, or you can let it strengthen you. The choice is yours. You've got to make a decision. Okay, Lord, I want you to fulfill your calling within me. This is terrible. These three men have passed away within this 10-year period. And what do we do now? Death can be a wake-up call. Yes, can you put in the chat, wake up? It can be a wake-up call. It can shake us to let us realize that all of us have a limitation on our life. I was talking and teaching in our Thursday night Bible study, and I was going through the process that we all are on our way to a finish line, but we don't know how close our finish line is. We don't know when God is going to call us home. Therefore, every second, every minute, every day has got to be focused. Every day we've got to make sure that we're striving to hear the voice of the Lord so he can use us more and more, and that we can be changed more and more to his likeness. The word of God reminds us of this same thought pattern in Ecclesiastes 7:2. It's better to go to a funeral than to attend a feast. Funerals remind us that we all must die. I know you'd be like, Pastor, I don't like funerals, but it does remind us, right? When we go there, we're like, oh yeah, I need to make sure that I'm focused in, because one day I may have to go through this unless the Lord comes back on a cloud before that time. Ecclesiastes 7:3 says, choose sorrow over laughter, because a sad face may hide a happy heart. And then at Ecclesiastes 7:4, talking about focus, a sensible person mourns, but fools always laugh. The women at this point are left by themselves without a man's companionship. Now, this is important because the men of that time, they were the protectors. They were the providers. So they're literally just left with no source of income, nobody to watch over them. What choice will be made? God is using this to help them to focus, to hear his voice, and make some steps to actually, I would say, to get back into his perfect will. He's going to use that matriarch, Naomi, to kind of push the girls. And also, Naomi's got to make some decisions about what God wants to do in her life. Look at Ruth 1:6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So there are rumors that have circulated that, you know what, things have turned around in Bethlehem, that the place of bread, the famine is over. God is blessing that place again. Ruth 1:7, therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Here's the point. Back to the beginning. Yes, back to the beginning. God allows us sometime to kind of go out on our journeys, go to places maybe we shouldn't even be in at. But then there's a reset time. Someone asked me the other day, and it's like, where do you see Ebenezer in 10 years? And I said, I want Ebenezer to continue to be stable. I want it to be a place that we focus on God's word, we lift up Jesus, that the saints of God are edified. I want it to be a place that, you know, maybe our kids or other people, they go and they look for a lot of entertainment or blitz and all of that. But then it comes to a point, they're saying, I want a stable place. I want the word of God. I want to raise my family in a place where they can grow. I want to raise my family in a place that we can be focused on together, that we all can receive something. Now, this is where I want people to go. I want them to remember back to the beginning. Those roots are so strong. So many people, they go through their lives and maybe they travel the world, but they're always usually coming to a point of going, you know what? I want to go back home. I want to go back to my family and people. I want to be around that. This is the process that God is using. He allows them to go off to follow Elimelech. Now he's passed away. The sons have passed away. And Naomi said, I got to go back to the beginning. Faced with dealing with all of this grief, there's a little bit of comfort. And I say a little bit of comfort because Naomi is a little upset with what has happened, the circumstances. But there's comfort that there's family back in Bethlehem. As this famine has ended, the place of bread is flourishing again. Proverbs 22:28 lets us know that something important in our lives, but there's certain things that we should not mess with. Proverbs 22:28 says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Can I read that again? Proverbs 22:28, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. I believe that by going to Moab, that Elimelech actually moved some landmarks of morality, his faith in sense. He was saying, I got this. I believe this is the way we should go, but it turned out terribly bad. In our lives, please hear me, there's some things that you don't need to touch. There's some things that you don't need to question. You need to trust the Lord. That's what faith is. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've got to trust God and know that he is gracious. Elimelech, again, he made that decision that actually ended up terribly, especially for Naomi and these two girls. He actually, again, moved that ancient landmark. Theologian Ed Henson, he actually sums up this moment of all that's going on and these choices and decisions. I'm talking about focus. The spiritual significance of the story cannot be overlooked as the drama unfolds. A man who knows better leaves his inheritance among the people of God to dwell in safety with his enemies. There he dies. Can you put it in the chat? Dies. Eventually, his two sons marry Gentile wives. Both of the sons die also. Now the scene centers on the tragic lives of these three women. It almost unfolds like an ancient Near Eastern soap opera. Any outs out there? This is what happens when we get off the path that God has laid out, when we're not concerned about fulfilling the calling within our lives, when we make choices that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and God, you're just going to have to wait until I get where I need to get at. Please understand, God is always in charge. Now this is important. God is going to move again through Naomi to make these decisions, to push her girls into a place of actually making a decision, as Naomi has already decided, I'm going home. I'm going back to the beginning. Look at Ruth 1:8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. She's like, you know what? I'm going back to the beginning. I'm going back to Bethlehem, but you weren't with me. I want you to go back to your mama's house. I'll be okay. I've got to deal with the ramification of these choices. Ruth 1:9, the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and wept. Naomi is saying, okay, girls, go find another husband. You know, my sons have passed away. I'm grieving. My husband has passed away. There are other people in your area, the Moabite area, that would love to marry you, take you as wives, and you could have a sense of peace. Ruth 1:10. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. Notice, both of them are like, no, Naomi, we're not going to go back. We're going to return with you. Ruth 1:11. But Naomi said, turn back. My daughters, why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? See, like, I ain't got no other kids to give you. I'm finished. I'm an old lady. I can't have any children. She explains, turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. Then she says, if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? Husbands, know, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You hear the grief, you hear the pain, but she's got to focus. Here's the point. A choice must be made. Yes, a choice has to be made. Naomi is making this choice to go back to Bethlehem, but also these daughter-in-laws, they have to make this decision. And we can see these daughters, they love their Naomi. They love her so much. The daughters have to decide, are we going to stay with Naomi or are we going to go back home? This is important because Ruth, really, as we explain within the scripture, she wants to set them free. She doesn't want them to be tied to her. I do find that this is interesting, that the respect level that these ladies have for their mother-in-law, that she has done so much for them, and because they have lost so much, it seems that grief sometimes can connect you strongly to those that are around you and are surviving with you. But Naomi understood something else, that Ruth and Orpah needed some space to grow, that they needed some space to make their own decisions, that it couldn't be about Naomi, it had to be about their choices. Look at Ruth 1:14 as we talk about a focus and pull this together. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Can you, in the chat, can you type out clung? That's going to be important. Ruth 1:15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. That's what Ruth is saying at this point. I'm with you. I'm clinging to you. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Look at Ruth 1:18. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. She was like, okay, you won. Here's the final point. This is the way, walk in it. Yes, this is the way, walk in it. So we're actually viewing in and we're seeing the fulfilling of a calling. We're seeing Naomi get back to the place that she needed to be at, but we're also seeing Ruth make a choice in her calling to actually be connected. And this is going to be significant a little later. I'm going to show you that, to be connected to Naomi. But Orpah, she makes a decision to go back home to be with her people. Isaiah 30:21 actually brings this out. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. My son and I, we look at this show, I think is on Disney Plus. It's called The Mandalorian. And they have this creed that they go in it. But a part of the creed that they always say is, this is the way. This is the way. And every time they say that, this scripture comes up into my heart. And this is the same thing that's happening into Ruth. Ruth has to make a decision. She decides, this is the way. The way is to stay with Naomi. The way is to stay with this woman of God from Bethlehem. Because Ruth believes this is the way. This is the way that she should walk in. And also, she has a peace in her that this is what God wants her to do. Even though she's from that Gentile background, she recognizes God in Naomi, even though Naomi is grieving. I'm going to show you something here. As Oprah, she makes her decision. She goes back home, as said earlier, but Ruth clings to her, Ruth 1:14, but Ruth clung to Naomi. I can see as Ruth grabs her, her mother in love, and she holds on to her, and she's basically saying, please, I am not going to leave you. I don't care what the other daughter does, but I'm going to stay with you. That's called focus. That is the same picture in our lives, that you're going to have to fight through some stuff. There's going to be some times that you want to turn around. You want to go a different direction, but you got to cling to it. You got to know what God is saying and putting into your heart. That's how that calling is going to be fulfilled. Look a little closely at that 1:16, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. I'm telling you, that's some good news, man. That's some exhortation there. That'll drive you to the point of wanting to focus in. She is focused. And then she says, Ruth 1:17, where you die, I will die, and where I will be buried, the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. That's devotion. That's focus. When we can decide in our lives, God, I hear you. I thank you for ordering my steps. And God, whatever happens, as long as you're with me, there ought to be some saints to say, thank God for leading us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Notice here, as we're thinking about this whole story, I want you to know that her choice, Ruth's choice to follow Naomi, will impact generations. Yes, and I would even say even into eternity, because Ruth made that decision to focus in on the calling that was on Naomi's life. Consequently, she actually fulfilled the calling that God had put on her life, even through the tragedy, even through the issues. Let me show you, because as we jump to the New Testament, we're going to find out that Ruth, I wish I could actually preach this entire book to you, but let me tell you, God worked out some things, and Ruth got another husband, and Ruth had a baby, and that baby went down. Matthew 1:1 talks about the genealogy of Christ, because Ruth chose to follow Naomi and to focus in on her calling. It says the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Walk with me. Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, yes, by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Somebody put in the chat, Ruth. There she is. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, that second king of Israel. David the king begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah. I'm telling you, when you focus in, God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we dare ask or think. I thank God for Ruth, and I thank God for Naomi. I have to even thank God for the situations and circumstances, but there ought to be somebody to say, thank God for Jesus. Yes, the fact that God can use this story to show us about the fulfillment of our calling, and that ultimate fulfillment is the Messiah coming from heaven to earth to walk among men. He was focused even at the age of 12, said, "Didn't you know it's time for me to get about my Father's business?" At the age of 30, he goes into full-blown ministry. He's able to accomplish what the Father has for him. I'm talking about focus. In 3 years, he heals the sick and he raises the dead. He multiplies bread and fish. He walks on the water. He brings sight to the blind. He causes the lame to walk. There ought to be some shouts of praise. I'm talking about focus. But you know what? He did not get off track. The disciples wanted him to get on a white horse and take over the Roman Empire in a sense. But I'm so glad that he stayed focused and realized, I got to go to a Garden of Gethsemane, where he cried out 3 times and came to that conclusion, "Father, not my will, but let thy will be done." I'm talking about focus. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long. He goes down the Via Dolorosa. He takes that crossbar on his back. I'm talking about focus. Goes to a place called Calvary. Nails in his hands. Nails in his feet. On that cross of Calvary, looks down on the people and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm talking about focus. On that cross of Calvary, able to look over at a thief who came to himself and said, "This day thou should be with me in paradise." I'm talking about focus. He cried out to the Father, "It is finished." Gave up the ghost. They took his cold body off of that cross, put it in that grave. But I'm so glad that focus is still there. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, and now he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us that we can fulfill the calling that he's put in our lives, that we can focus in on all the wonderful things he has for us. But saints of God, we got to make a decision. We're living in a time of distractions, where there's so much that's around us to grab our attentions, to get us off of that path that God has for us. Remember Ruth. Remember a Naomi. Remember Elimelech. Remember those sons. Remember Oprah. They all had to make a decision. And those decisions, some led to life. Others led to death. What will be your decision today? God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, but the scriptures let us know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rip your calling from you. But I'm telling you, we serve a God that's more than enough. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what challenges that you have, please, I just want you to submit to God and let him use you. Yes, he wants to use you from the foundation of the earth. He had already put a stamp on you. He had already decided, you know, I got them. And that's why it's so important to realize we have a God, and I said this earlier, who's more than enough, will never leave us nor forsake us. He wants us to focus in on the plan that he has for our lives. If you don't know him today, I pray that you've been touched. Your heart has been touched. And at this point, man, I encourage you to cry out to him. Just say, "I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I made mistakes. I'm tired of trying to do it my own way. God, I need you to order my steps." And I'm telling you, he is able to bring intersections together in your life. And what you thought was for your harm, God is able to change it for your good. I'm telling you, he can do it. I've seen it all through the scriptures. What you thought was, you know what, this is it, this is over, God can make that situation strengthen you. Remember that journey, that whole journey, all pieces actually lead to that whole part. And God is saying, "I'm going to use it for my glory, God's glory." And we've got to trust him that more souls will be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. So I encourage you, give your life to him. To the saints of God, I encourage you to focus in. Ask God what he would have you to do. Specifically for this season, he used Ruth, he used Naomi, he can use you. I just want you to prepare your heart. And I want you to think about God and the wonderful things that he wants to do in your life. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you so much for your tremendous grace and your mercy. I thank you for the book of Ruth, Lord. I thank you how you used Ruth in an amazing way. And even Naomi, Lord, and setting up some things and Boaz and that whole generational line that led up to Christ. Thank you for that picture. Lord, thank you for the calling on our lives. I thank you that souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. I thank you that your saints are being edified, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're doing so much even in this challenging time where we've got issues in the White House. We've got issues in our houses. We've got issues in the churches, Lord. I thank you that even though the enemy is attacking hard, Lord, I thank you that you are raising up an army. I thank you, God, that you're raising up a people who have a vision, God, that are trusting you, that are loving you with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And they're literally coming and saying, use me, Lord, for your glory. Use me in this season and time. And thank you, God, for your precious Holy Spirit, which leads us and guides us and helps us to stand strong in the truth that you've given us. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for helping us to focus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Down through the years, the Lord's been good to me. Oh, down, I said, oh, down. Oh, Lord, I say the Lord been good to me. Can I say it again? Down through the years, the Lord been good to me. Oh, down, I say, oh, down, oh, yeah, oh, the Lord been good to me. He gave me food to eat, said the Lord been good to me. I said he gave Lord, oh, he gave me, oh, yeah, Lord, I said, Lord, he's been good, good to me. I like this verse. He gave me clothes to wear, yeah, Lord. I said he gave it to me. Oh, he gave me clothes to wear, Lord, yes he has. I said, Lord, been good to me. I'm saying this for you. He woke me up this morning. I said, the Lord been good. Oh, he woke me up this morning. I said, the Lord